your Bibles and take those Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. We're going to continue our study that we've been in the book of Luke on Wednesday nights. We're in Luke chapter 6 tonight. And I want you to stand. We're going to read Luke chapter 6. We're going to start reading at verse number 27. And we're going to read to the verse number 36. Luke chapter 6, verse number 27, where we'll begin reading tonight. And then we'll read down to verse number 36. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Brother LaVon, would you pray for the message tonight? Yes, Lord, help us. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Please. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. We're going to be looking at this subject tonight, how to treat your enemies. How to treat your enemies. And tonight we're going to see what the Bible says about how we as Christians should treat our enemies. Now, the truth is, we all in here tonight have people that dislike us. We all have people that have and maybe are mistreating you, have mistreated us. You may have somebody in here tonight that hates you. I know the devil does. And there's some of you in here tonight that you've had people that have been such an enemy to you, they've abused you in some type of way. And there are people, I guess we could say also, that we personally don't think too much about ourselves. Jesus Christ had enemies. Paul had enemies. James and John and Peter, the whole bunch, had enemies. You and I should not think it's some strange thing that we're going to have enemies. Now, I'm going to tell you this about enemies. I believe that one of the true tests, listen, one of the true tests of Christian character, just what kind of Christian you really are, is how you and I treat our enemies. I believe you find out a lot about how good a Christian somebody is, how much character they have as a born-again believer, when you see how they interact and how they treat their enemies. And I want to say this, I believe there should be a difference, an absolute difference, in how a saved man treats those who mistreat him, and how a lost man treats those who mistreat him. There ought to be a difference. And if there isn't a difference, we're no different than the lost man. Just if we just treat those that treat us right good and don't treat those that treat us bad good, we're no better. Notice what it says there in verse number 32. And we're to hear what Jesus says about this. It says back up there in verse number 27, he says, "But I say unto you which hear." Now you need to hear this. Listen to it. Soak it up. Because, and the reason I think that's important to say right here at the beginning, because there are going to be some things I'm going to say here tonight out of this Bible you're not going to want to hear. We're not going to want to look at our enemies sometimes the way God wants us to look at them. But I'm telling you, that is the true test of Christian character. Because you're no different, and I am no different than a lost, heathen, pagan. If we only treat those good that treat us good. If we only help those that help us. You know, the philosophy in this world is, you scratch my back and I'm going to scratch your back. That's the philosophy of the world. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Look what it says there in verse number 32. "For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? That ain't nothing if you love those that love you. Sinners also love them that love those that love them." You know, he says, you're no different than a lost person. Lost people love and appreciate those that love and appreciate them. The true test is, can you love somebody that don't love you? That's the true test of Christian character. Verse number 33, "If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same." Listen, anybody can do somebody good that's doing you good. Ain't nothing to that. That's a joy to do something like that. Listen, I'm not going to get any rewards at all for being good to my wife. And I have been good to you having a baby. Thank you. I'm not going to get any rewards to be good to my wife. It's been very, very easy to be good to my wife. If you can't be good to my wife, you can't be good to nobody. She's just so easy to be good to. She treats me in such a way and respects me and loves me that I want to be good to her. Now, if I was married to a battle axe like some of these people are, and I treated that woman good, now that would be a true test of my Christian character. If I had the wife that some people have, you better believe if I treated them good, brother, that would be a good test of Christian character. And some of you women know the vice versa of it with a bad husband. But it's no test of Christian character to treat somebody good that treats you good. To be good to somebody that's good to you. Even the lost people on their way to hell do that. Boy, when you can take those that hate you and love them and treat those good that treat you bad, now that's when you're on high ground. It says, "If you do good to them which do good to you, and thank have you, for sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them on whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." Yeah, anybody can lend to somebody you know is going to pay you back and maybe give you a little usury on top of it. Well, boy, you lend to somebody, they say, "Well, yeah, I'll pay you back when I get it." And you know when you give it to them, yeah, you ain't never going to get it, are you? You ain't going to pay me back. Yeah, I'm telling you, how you and I treat our enemies and how you and I face our enemies. And listen, folks, you're going to have them. These youngins over there, I know they're all in the other church over there tonight. But from the youngest ones to the teenagers, they're going to have people, enemies in school. You're going to have enemies, neighbors. You're going to have people that live up and down the street from you. Folks can't get along. You're going to have enemies in your own house. You're going to have, listen, there's going to be people against you and people that you don't get along with. Maybe it's your boss, somebody that works alongside of you. It could be somebody in this church. You don't fool me. You all smiling and happy, but I know how church folks are. There's a lot of this, "I don't want to speak to you, and you don't talk to me, and I don't talk to you," and folks that won't go around each other in church. I guarantee you a little bit of that goes on in here. I guarantee you, even though I'm not privy to a lot of what may be going on with that, I guarantee you there's somebody in here tonight that don't like somebody else in here tonight. Yes, sir, I know it. God knows it. And how you respond to that and how you react to that and how you overcome that through the help of the Lord has a lot to tell me about you. A lot to tell me about you. Now let's look at the four things. I just want to bring four things to your attention about how we're to treat our enemies tonight. That'll be the message. Number one, first thing I want to say is this. The Bible says we're to love our enemies. It makes it clear. Verse number 27, "But I say unto you, which hear, Love, that's the first thing he tells you to do. Love your enemies. Verse number 35. But love ye your enemies. Number 28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, I don't know why I wrote that down, because I wasn't going to read that right then anyway. You see, the Bible says that you're to love your enemies. You don't have to like your enemies, but you're supposed to love them. There's people that I don't like. There's not a problem with that. You don't have to like everybody. There's folks I don't like. There's folks I'm not going to like. I'm not supposed to like them. And it's no big problem. But the problem is, can I love them? And God wants you to love your enemies. Now listen, you can only love your enemies with the love God put in you. That's the only way you're going to love your enemies. The only way you're going to love your enemies is you're going to have to take a supernatural love that's put in you when you get saved. You and I on our own cannot love our enemies. For some of you, if we were to be very honest tonight, and I'm not trying to get you to bring up bad memories. I'm not trying to get you to feel bad tonight. I'm not trying to do some kind of psychological ploy on you and to get you in the altar tonight and all that. But some of you, if you just sit there tonight and think about some of the things that some of the people have said to you and done to you and abused you in the ways and the things some of you in here have been through, you know you can't love them unless Christ loves them through you. You know that. And that's how you get victory over it. You have to know it. You say, God, you want me to love this person. And on my own, I can't love them. I don't want to love them. I can't stand them. But God, you can love them through me. And you want me to. And he will. And this will help you a little bit with that too. Just remember that Jesus loved you when you were his enemy. There was one time, I was never the enemy of God. You don't know your Bible. We were at enmity, the Bible says, with him. Before you were saved, you were God's enemy. He said, but I wasn't against God. Listen, he said, you're either for me or against me. He who's not for me is against me. No decision for Christ is a decision against Christ. And God said we were enemies, and he loved us anyway. And the only reason you love him, the Bible says, is because he first loved us. And he's a perfect example of somebody loving somebody that didn't love him. And he's our example. And the true test of Christian character ain't when we come in here and, oh, brother so-and-so, he's so sweet, and he asked me how my youngins were doing, and he's been praying for me, and oh, I just love Darby so much, and oh, I love my son so much. That ain't nothing. Just because you love your children, listen, there's something wrong with you if you don't love your children and love your spouse and love your church family. That don't tell me nothing about you. Go out there and love your worst enemy. Go out there and love the man or the woman that's hurt you the most. Then that's a test of Christian character. Then that's being filled with the Spirit. And God wants us to do that. You know what? It's real low key in here tonight. And it's sort of hard preaching this up here. Now, I don't know if you're resisting it or the devil's resisting it or whatever, but I'm telling you, it's a little tougher to preach. This usually is a pulpit of great liberty. This usually is a pulpit where I have extreme liberty. And I'm telling you, it's tight in here tonight. Somebody's having a problem with this. And I'm telling you, before we go on with any other point, you got to get this basic point that you can't love your enemies and you can't treat that person right unless God does it through you. And you've got to admit that. You've got to decide. You may have to come up to this altar tonight and say, God, I don't love that person. I don't like that person. I don't want to forgive that person. They are my deep, dark enemy. But I know that that's what you want me to. And for Jesus' sake and the Holy Ghost that lives within me that can empower me to do it, God, change my heart and change my mind. I call it, sometimes I pray and say, God, I want you to change my want to. You may have to drop down here tonight and say, God, get a hold of my want to. You say, where's your want to? I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in there. God, take that want to and turn it like you want it to be. And sometimes we just have to go before God and say, I don't want to love that person. I don't want to go on and forgive that person. I don't want to treat that person right. But God, I know you want me to. And ask them to do it. You'll never love them unless you love them through the Lord. And the next thing is, he tells you this, number two. Not only do you love your enemies, but he says, do good to them. Do good to them. Verse number 27, do good. Verse number 35, love your enemies and do good. I mean, it's pretty forward. And that's what that's listen. It's a thing of you treating those right that treat you bad. You see that illustrated there here in the passage, verse 29. He says, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now, the correct response for most of us is, if you hit me on this one cheek, I'm going to hit you on your cheek. But the thing is, you're not retaliating. Now, this thing's not teaching you can't defend yourself. But what it's teaching is that you and I are not to respond evil to evil, but good to evil. Verse number 30, give to every man that asketh thee, and asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And the idea is, verse number 31, and as you would that men should do ye also to them likewise. However you want somebody to treat you, the Bible says that's how you treat them. It doesn't say you treat them like you treat me. That's the philosophy of the world. The Bible says you treat them like you want to be treated. You want to be respected, you respect others. You want people to treat you right, you treat other people right. You say, well, they're not treating me right. That doesn't matter. You're still held accountable to love them and respect them. That's right. Look at a couple of verses. Hold your place here. Turn to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Starting with verse number 21. Now here's what you're supposed to do to your enemy. Proverbs 25, 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You're supposed to, listen, you treat your enemy like you want to be treated, not like he's treated you. You take care of your enemy, and you do him right, and God will reward you for it. And we're going to look at that at the very last tonight. But God will take you, listen, God, I believe God looks on that and rewards us for doing right by our enemy. Another place, look over there in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you've got to get this idea down that you don't retaliate. God doesn't want you to treat others bad when they treat you bad. He doesn't want you to lash out at those that lash out at you. You don't treat your enemies like they treat you. You treat them differently. And Christ, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect example, wasn't he? He didn't look down there at those folks down there at the bottom of that cross and say, oh, God, kill this whole bunch. They've tortured me. They've hurt me. They're gambling over my garments now. They've mocked me. They've blasphemed me. Just send them all to hell. You know, he said, Father, forgive them. They were his enemies. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Some of the best scriptures you ever read is following the example of Jesus Christ. Is over in 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse number 21, where it says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What's those steps? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Listen. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He said, I know God's got this whole thing in control. He'll take care of it. I'm going to do right. Look there in Romans 12. This is some good scripture we're going to read here in Romans 12. Romans 12, you pick up about verse number 17. Pick up about verse number 17 and read to the end of that chapter. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. The Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Do you see that? That man does you evil, you don't pay him back evil, the Bible says. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. If it be possible, sometimes it's not possible. You do the best you can. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not up to you to get back to somebody. If you try to get back at somebody, God's going to get back at you. You leave that to God. Vengeance is mine, he says. He said, I'll do the repaying. You don't worry about it. Here it is, verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what? Feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let your enemy bring you down and overcome you with evil and bring you down on the same level they're on. If your enemy's a man of hate and a man of wickedness and a man of selfishness and a man of evilness, don't you get on the same level as them by retaliating or even walking around with hate in your heart. Maybe you've never physically done anything to retaliate against your enemy. But if you're walking around in your heart all tore up about somebody, you're not doing them good. You're not loving them. When I go back to Luke, the third thing he says is pray for them. Bless them that curse you, verse number 28, and pray for them. Pray for them, which despitefully use you. Now, don't pray God to kill them. That ain't how he's talking about. That's not the kind of prayer he's talking about. You pray God that God will get them right. And don't pray it like, God, you know how messed up they are. Get them right. You know, God, get them right to prove that I'm the one that was right and they need to be right like me, you know. No. You pray for them that God will get them right because you want them to be right with God. Now, let me just tell you something. Here's some good advice for you if you've got an enemy. It's hard to stay mad at someone when you're praying for them consistently. Can anybody testify to that, that's true? If you're here tonight and you're struggling with somebody or somebody's about something, you've got an enemy. It may be a present enemy. It may be one of the past, but it may be somebody right now that's really got you messed up. One of the quickest ways to develop a better spirit toward that person and actually be able to come to the point where you can love that person and actually do good to that person through the power of the Holy Spirit is to pray for that person. And I know the first prayer, maybe the first, second prayer, maybe the first week or two weeks of prayer, it's going to be hard to find sincerity. You're just going to be doing it simply because it's right. But what I found out is a lot of times if we'll do things because it's right and we'll be obedient to God, then at a later time the emotion will come. And you not only won't be doing it because it's right, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. And you will actually have, I don't know what to call it, a breakthrough or whatever, where you not only pray for this person to get to and love them and pray for them to get right, you really earnestly feel that in their heart. You feel pity for them. You feel sorrow for them. You feel compassion for them, even though you know they hate your guts. And you can do that. But you've got to pray for them. I can hear the crickets chirping in here. It is so quiet in here tonight. I'm telling you something. Somebody or somebody's getting dealt with here tonight. Please don't resist it. Please don't say, well, in your heart, well, preacher, you just don't understand. Boy, if you'd been there, if you'd went through what I went through, if you'd seen what I've seen, you couldn't stand up there and do that. No, I couldn't. But through Christ, I can. And I'm telling you who's teaching this thing to you tonight, brother, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had more people hate him and torture him and turn against him and abuse him than all of us put together in here. And he loved that bunch anyway. He loved everybody in the point that he went to that cross, and he loved everybody enough and died for everybody at that cross. That was those at the bottom of the cross. That's Anton LaVey. That's Charlie Manson. That's the most wicked people in the world. There was at least one time he loved them enough that he died for them. He did. And we need to pray for our enemies. Pray for them. And then just finally, be merciful to your enemies. Boy, that's a true test of Christian character. Be merciful. Verse number 36, the very last verse we're covering tonight in this section of Scripture. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's been very merciful and forgiving toward us, hasn't he? Who are we then not to be merciful toward others? You know, there's a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is God giving you that which you don't deserve. That's salvation. None of us deserve salvation. Grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. But mercy is God not giving you that which you deserve. In other words, we deserve hell. All of us do. We deserve to be put in a lake of fire and burn forever. And because God's a loving and merciful God, when we receive Christ and we trust what His Son did on the cross and have our sins washed away, that mercy comes along with that grace. And not only does He give us the grace to be saved that we don't deserve, He withholds from us that we do deserve. Listen, when He's telling you to be merciful to other people, He's not saying for you to excuse their sin. He's not saying for you to act like they never sinned. He's not telling you to act like they never done anything wrong. Of course they did. Of course they were wrong. Of course they offended you. He's just asking you not to give them what they deserve. Just like He did not give you what you deserved. See, everybody wants to, I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to be just like Christ. I want to wear my WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, you just found out, buddy, what He would do. Do you still want to do it? Huh? You run your mouth about how you want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. All right? If you want to be like Jesus, love and forgive and have compassion and mercy on those that hated Him and tortured Him. That's the mind of Christ. You still want it? God wants you to have it. He wants me to have it. God wants us as Christians to be merciful people. There's a verse over there in James chapter 2, verse number 13. I'm just going to read it to you. You can underscore it in your Bible right now if you want to. You can turn to it later. But it's a pretty tough verse. It says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment." You know what God said? He said, when it comes time to judge you, brother, if you haven't had mercy on others, I'm not going to have mercy. Do you realize how wicked and prideful and fouled up we are to think that somebody does some little something to us? And we don't want to forgive them. We don't want to treat them right. And as many times as some of you turned your back on God and you held your... Now, you may not have physically done it, but you in your heart, I'm going to live my way. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm just going to run out in the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then you come back and quote 1 John 1:9, expect Him just to forgive you and restore you and ask nothing about it and to clean up all that junk for you. And you can't get over one little thing about someone else. You're not right with God. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you come to church. You're not right with God. That is the epitome of pride, to expect God to forgive you for all of this and you can't get over this. Who do you think you are? You ain't nothing but dirt. I ain't nothing but dirt. That's why we're going back to the dirt when we die. To walk around here like we are so offended. Well, won't you just sit back, pal, for a little while and think about the folks you've offended. And think about the God you've offended. Now, it's worth all this. Because in verse number 35, it says, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Listen, and your reward shall be great. This is not easy to do, and it's very difficult, but that Bible says there's a reward for it. There is a reward for having enough Christian character to treat your enemies right. We are to love our enemies. We are to try to do good to our enemies when we can. We are to pray for our enemies, and we're to have mercy and forgiveness toward our enemies. And I will tell you tonight, on your own, you cannot do it. But all things are possible with God. That Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he's within the world. And if you believe that book tonight, and you believe that when you're saved that the Holy Ghost of God lives within you, that he's strong enough to help you love the most unlovable, to forgive anything, and to treat those that hate your guts with love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness, you don't have to like them, and you don't have to like what they do, but you got to love them, and you got to do them right. And you can't put on some facade and walk around here and say, well, I ain't said nothing to them. I didn't mistreat them. I didn't do them wrong. Yeah, but what's right here? What's in your ticker? See, that counts too. Remember that thing Jesus said over there about you ain't supposed to murder? And everybody got justified and said, yeah, I ain't never murdered nobody. He said, oh, but by the way, if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, you murdered him. Brings it right down. No, I didn't do nothing with my hands. I didn't say nothing with my mouth. But it's there. And God knows it's there. True test of Christian character. How do you treat your enemies? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please come quickly to the piano. Just get anything going. I don't care what it is.